C.S. Lewis wrote about what's been called the doctrine of first and second things. He argued that some things are second things. You can only get those things if and when they come second. They are the things that must come behind or under the first things. So if you're a person who rejects or neglects the things that are first, not only do you miss out and lose the first things, since you're neglecting them or rejecting them, but the second things get messed up too. Pretend that the second things are the first things. Try to make the second things into first things. And rather than get really great things, you get distorted things, you get twisted things. Now, rather than get things that display their fullness and their beauty and their goodness, you get things that are stunted. You get things that are ugly. I've tried at times to capture that same truth by talking about shade plants. Some plants only thrive in the shade of something bigger. Take that shade plant out and put it in the direct sun because you really want to focus on it or really want to feature it. It doesn't thrive, it withers. Example. Make the number one thing in your life. I've had couples do this. Couples have come to me and says, you know, we're about ready to get married, or we just got married, you know, been married just a couple of years. When we see some of those old couples that have been married 30, 40 years, well, they've definitely lost the spark. You know, they don't even hold hands anymore, and they don't seem to take each other for granted. We want whatever else we do in life not to lose the spark in our marriage. So, Pastor, tell us what we can do to keep the spark so that we don't end up like so many of those couples that we see. Usually my first response to that is, like, if you make your number one goal retaining the spark in your marriage, nothing will extinguish it quicker than that. Because you will have such high requirements of your partner to be sparky, the expectations they can't meet. So soon, all the spark's going to be gone. Everything else gets sacrificed in pursuit of retaining the spark. But not only will you miss a lot of other things that you sacrificed, but the spark will elude you. Because it can't be a first thing. It can't be the be-all, end-all. God, who we've been talking about, of course, is a first thing. He's the first thing. Get God wrong, not only do you miss the central thing, the greatest thing, but everything else will get missed and lost and distorted. Now, our culture, I trust you know, our age, tries hard to hold a picture of life without God in it, to form a picture of life without God being referenced. We try to understand life without reference to God. We try to do life without relationship with God. But when you pursue life without God in it, you miss the one, of course, who is life itself, because you're trying to do without him. So you miss the one who is life itself, but also all the lesser things, all the second things get twisted. They get distorted. They get lost because they need to grow in the shade of something bigger, and that which gives them shade is gone. So they get twisted and lost. So I want to be a little bit different today. I think connected to getting God right is having all the other things in your life rightly related to God. So all that stuff you have underneath your chair, remember? All the things of your life. connected to getting him right is connecting him rightly to all that stuff that's underneath your chair. For all of us, life consists of many things. We've got relationships, family, friends, loved ones, neighbors, fellow citizens. So you have people. You got people underneath your chair. You got people in your life. You have responsibility, stuff that you got to get done, stuff that you need to do. Work responsibilities, relational responsibilities, you just got stuff to do. You have pursuits and interests, hobbies and studies. You got health issues. You got finances and material provision issues. You need a roof over your head and someplace to sleep tonight and food to eat. So life consists of many things for all of us. For a few weeks now, we've been talking about God, talking about his sovereignty, talking about his goodness and about his grace, talking about his power, talking about his light. Been talking about knowing him, worshiping him, being thankful to him, serving him. So what I would like to do today, probably more time of ministry than trying to teach you anything. I want to have us connect God, you know, the one we've been talking about. I want us to connect the first thing to all the other second things in our life. So we've been talking about God. I want to take some time just to make sure that the God that we're talking about is rightly connected to all that stuff underneath your chair, all your stuff, all the happenings of your life. I want each of us to be a sheep of his hand, so that each of us, that you do all your sheep stuff in his pasture, under him as your shepherd. All your sheep issues, all your sheep circumstances, all your sheep needs, all your sheep happenings, all your sheep hurts, all your sheep people, to connect them all to your shepherd. That's the agenda. I think, I don't know if you would agree with me, I trust that, or I think that you would, I think we live in a world where a lot of second things are not going well. I mean, we tried to get rid of heaven so that we could exalt the earthly. We tried to get rid of heaven so that we could exalt ourselves, so that we could be the super marvelous people that we could be, as long as heaven doesn't get in the way. But we've not only lost the treasures of heaven, the earthly things aren't going very well. I think there are many arenas, many dynamics of the current world that are troubled and confused. I don't know if you would agree with me or not. I think lots of things happening in the world are troubled and confused. How many of you feel like we're doing a really good job, you know, with the complex issues of human sexuality? We're really nailing that one. What it means to be a man or a woman, the place and function of sexual intimacy. How many of you think we're just really got that one figured out? Are the foundational elements, such as marriage and family, are those things in a good place or a not so good place? Are you impressed and excited about our education system? You see the product of our education system and what's coming out of our colleges and universities, and wow, that's awesome. Is that your response? Do you feel like our public discourse is productive and healthy? You just turn on the news and you just marvel at how well we deal with issues, we talk together and work through things, compromise, find solutions. Do you think social media is solving a lot of social needs, helping us with a lot of social issues? Are you confident that our handling of the environment, you know, is appropriate and wise? And I could go on, probably for a long time. My point is, I just think there's many arenas, earthly arenas, that aren't going so well. We've kind of jettisoned heaven in order to focus on earth, but the things that we're focusing on, they're not, they themselves aren't being going so well. Now, I don't wish to make it to deny the many facets and the many dimensions of any issue. So I'm not attempting to oversimplify the picture or disregard any facet that belongs to a picture of any issue. Yet I am convinced that the main reason we handle many issues so poorly, or better, we don't know how to handle many issues, is because we try to handle them without God. That's the main reason we handle many issues so poorly, because you can't handle those issues without reference to God, without the shadow of the Almighty. We try to handle earth's things without heaven's things. We treat our earthly things like they're the first things. But earthly things are second things. And they should be handled with reference to the first things. They should be handled with reference to God. You got to handle those things in His shadow. All that stuff under your chair, you got to deal with those things in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, under the wings of the Almighty. You got to deal with those things with God being a source and an authority with respect to them. You got to deal with those things with God as a refuge and a guide, present help in time of trouble. We need to handle our sheep things as His sheep in His pasture. So that's what we're going to try to do. You know, it's tempting when something isn't going well to double down on it. So you give it even more attention and you give it even more focus. If I felt like right now I wasn't convincing you, I yell louder. Double down. I give it more attention, more focus. I hit the podium harder. I move it to the front burner. Put it on center stage. But sometimes more attention is not what's needed. And what is needed is something else. Probably all of us have met the parent whose answer to any in every issue with their kids is more. Any issue, we need more focus on the kids, more attention to the kids, more time with the kids, more money for the kids. So the solution to every issue is more. But what the kid most needs is a home where he or she is not the biggest issue. Well, that's what they need. But being the issue, can just be put on center stage and on the front burner, and here's more money and more attention and more focus and more counseling and more. But what the kid needs is to not be the biggest issue. So I want to invite you, get all the things out that you got underneath your chair. Just kind of spread them around you. Get all your sheep things out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you tell the person next to you what they are. And you're fortunate right now that they're invisible, everybody but you and God. But I want you to get all the things of your life out. The issues you have, the struggles you have, the duties, the responsibilities that you carry, the happenings of your life, your plans and your pursuits, all your stuff. And I just want you to connect those things up to God. To have God be in the first place. And have all those things be in the second place, in His shadow, under Him. Just to have your things be shade plants under His greatness. So I'm going to just mention a few things that I thought about. They're not exhaustive. They're not comprehensive. They may not hit the target. for your things. But I hope just to linger on these things long enough so that you take the things that are pressing you right now, your sheep things, and that you connect them up to God. And that you don't try to do your sheep things without reference to Him. So if I say some things that are helpful or on topic for you, pick up on them. If you just have to do it yourself, take all these things and connect them up to your Creator, do that. So first, one of the primary activities of our time, this is not going to be news to any of you if you're at all aware of what's going on, is identity politics. There is lots of confusion, lots of uncertainty about who am I? What's my identity? It's not easy to know who I am without reference to God. Who you are, what you should do, why you're here, what life is about, your identity. God has some say, some input for you in answering those questions. You can't forge your own identity. It will be unconvincing to other people. It will be unconvincing even to yourself. Because deep down you know, I can't forge who I am. Well, I could tell you. But then if you say, Roger, I think that's stupid. Okay, well, that's what you think, but I think I'm right. So it stops there. But I myself, how weighty is that? So you can't forge your own identity. And it's not an identity if who you are is just a matter of random cosmic accidents. Well, then you're a nothing. You're a cosmic accident. That's not an identity. So part of the crisis that we have, everybody running around trying to figure out who they are, is it centered in the fact that I'm a man, or centered in the fact that I'm white, or centered in the fact that I'm a baby boomer, or that I'm an American? What does my identity center in? You know, why is that such a crisis in our time? Because you can't answer questions about your identity without reference to God. So if you wrestle at all, who am I, Lord? What am I supposed to be doing? What's my life supposed to be about? You're a creature. And you can find some help in knowing who you are from your Creator. He made you male or female. He screwed you together. That's NIV for He knit you in your mother's womb. He determined the time and the place of your habitation. Oh, and your comings and goings. God did that. When God calls your name, then you know who you are. When God calls you by name. And you can be pretty sure if you meet Him and He says, I haven't a clue who you are. I never knew you. You can be pretty sure at that point that you don't have much of an identity. So that issue that we have in our time pervades our politics now. People are struggling with, who am I? And where do I find that? And how do I know what it is? I've met many people who struggle with it. I hurt for them in their struggle. I'm not criticizing the struggle. But you can't answer the question without reference to God. And then pick up the second word. In that identity politics, pick up that word politics. Politics is about ordering of our common life together. That's what politics are, is how we order our common life together, our civic community. You ever wonder at why politics has become such a behemoth in our times? How come everything is political? Could it be that we've decided that everything depends on us? We feel that we're the only actors on stage. So if the government doesn't handle it, who else is there? So there's just you, the individual, and we, the people. That's all there is. And that makes politics so big. And it dominates our time. As if the only recourse other than you personally is the state. Well, there's also the sovereign God. It's neither the Republicans nor the Democrats who hold the world in their hands. God holds the world in his hands. If the news has you really worked up all the time, first turn it off. But if the news has you really worked up all the time, go home and sing, "You've got the whole wide world in his hands. Got you and me, brother. You and me, sister. Got everything in his hands." When you work through the issues of the environment, I am not for irresponsible stewardship. But when you work through the issues of the environment, don't leave God out. We do not have to save the planet. First of all, that's beyond us. But you don't have to save the planet. Forgotten about God, the creator and sustainer. So when you work through the issues of the environment, don't leave God out. Handle that with reference to the Almighty in his shadow. So how about things underneath your chair that are just causing you stress and worry? I suspect there's a few things under your chair that cause you some stress and some worry. I mean, is it up to you to secure all that you need for life? Is it all up to you? If it is, you should be stressed and worried. It's all up to you. It's all in your hands. But the things that you're stressed about, things that you're worried about, the people that you're stressed and worried about, connect them to God. Might there be one who is watching over you? Could it be that there's one who has you in his hand? Might there be one who can say to you, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." But whatever it is that's stressing or worrying you, in God's shadow, I'm watching over you. I love you. Do not be afraid. Not a sparrow falls to the ground without me noticing. And you are of more value than many sparrows. Include in that stress and worry, the stress and worry that you have for others, that you have for loved ones. Loved ones face and encounter many things that you can't control. That's a bummer, isn't it? Loved ones encounter many things that you can't fix. I'm bummed that as a grandpa, I can't fix the world for Rebecca and determine all of what Rebecca will encounter in life. But I can't do that. You can't do that for your loved ones. So the uncertainties that life holds for yourself and for loved ones, connect your things about loved ones to God. Maybe your family, your spouse, your kids, maybe it's your parents, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a brother or sister in Christ, but connect the things of your loved ones up to God. And I wanted to say something about issues of contentment and hope. Both of those things, I think, are hard to come by without God. It seems like there's hardly anyone who feels they're getting a fair deal nowadays, or getting a good deal. Everyone feels like he is a victim or she is a victim, right? You know, even white males. Like, we're getting all the bad press, so now we feel victimized too. You know, we can join the herd. Everybody feels like they're a victim. Everybody feels like some injustice has been done to them. And when you're a victim and when injustice has been done to you, it makes you discontent. I'm getting a raw deal. If you take all of your things, take all the happenings and circumstances of your life, you will find in those things there's limitation. You can rail against the limitation, but you'll find that there's limitation. You can't live in California and Michigan at the same time. You'll find that among your things there's lack. I can't help it that your brain doesn't work very good, but it doesn't. You'll find things about your personality, your competence, your skills, your abilities, your circumstances and the people, that there's lack. You'll find that you have disadvantage. That other people have advantages and things of life that you don't have. You'll find that there's inequality among your things. So you'll find plenty of reasons to be discontent if you look for them, to be angry, to be bitter. But hook all your things up to God. If you do that, remarkable things happen, good things happen. When you're hooked up to God now, this moment does not have to be everything. You don't have to have it all right now if you're connected to God. I mean, there's vanity under the sun for everyone. If it makes you feel better, the person who has a lot better deal than you, they're going to die too. They're not any more successful at conquering death than you are. Now, that itself is a reminder that all of us face foes that you're not going to be able to beat. But with God, you know, with all the limitation and the lack and the inequality and the constraints of your situation and your people and your personality, you can be content. If you're in his shadow, there can be hope. Because there's more than just now. He holds the future in his hands. And he can conquer foes that are beyond all of us. And has conquered foes that are beyond all of us. So just all I'm doing is giving you opportunity. Spread all of your things, all the things of your life, out in the presence of the Almighty. That's all I'm asking you to do. You don't have to tell me what they are. You don't have to tell the person next to you what they are. Just spread all those things out in God's presence. I think if you do that, you see things in a different light. And you spread them out in God's presence. It adjusts your priorities. But when the last trumpet sounds, you know, that thing that we sing about sometimes when the trumpet sounds and the clouds get rolled back as a scroll and the Lord descends from on high, what will happen to you? Worship will become a higher priority than it might be right now. I'm not much into worship. When the trumpet sounds, you'll get real interested really quickly. So just get in the presence of the Almighty and your priorities shift. I think being in the presence of the Almighty will make an honest person out of you. That's really important, I think, in our time, because we live amidst lots of dishonesty. We're dishonest about many, many things in life. We tell lies, we live as hypocrites, and we put on facades. Is the person on Facebook the real you? Or is it a fabrication of who you would like to be or what you would like others to think? We're often dishonest. Christians are often dishonest. And behind the scenes, there's a whole bunch of things going on and being felt and said and being acted out that are not Christ-like. But take all your stuff and let it be in the presence of the Almighty. Presence of the one from whom nothing is hid, who judges in righteousness. It'll help you with dishonesty. But just take all your stuff and put it in the presence of God. If you got God right and nothing else, that would be a good deal. If you got the first thing right and messed up on everything else, that would be an okay deal. But if you get God right, a whole bunch of things flourish in the shadow of his wings. get heaven right and all the things of earth fall into place and flourish. Resist heaven in order to get earth, you'll end up with no heaven, and all the things of earth will get twisted and distorted. But welcome heaven, and you'll end up with earth thrown in. You'll end up with all the things of earth added to you. That should remind you of a verse. So I just want to take a moment. And as I wasn't so much attempting to teach you anything, I just want you to take your things. And I'm just going to give you a moment to connect up your things to the one who we've been talking about, God. Whatever things are biggest for you, maybe they're people things, maybe what's the future things for you, maybe they're sorrows, maybe it's dishonest things, things that you're very glad right at the moment that they're invisible, because you would be ashamed that they're your things and you're glad we can't see them right now. Whatever your things are, connect them up to the Almighty. Be in His presence with them. His light, His care, His love, His power, His sovereignty, all those things we've talked about, connect up to those things. Let's pray together. Father, just in our mind's eye, we've, Father, taken the things of our life, things that belong to us and occupy us, worry us, trouble us, other things that we think about and want to pursue, things that we wonder about, other people that are connected to us and that we love. Father, just all the happenings and all the people and all the responsibilities, all the pursuits. Father, we would be about all of those things, Father, in your shadow, in your pasture, Father, as your sheep. Father, forgive us when we've tried to do relationships or happenings apart from you. Father, for we would just be in your presence, in your light, Father, in your spirit. Father, I pray that you would just turn your face, Father, to each one of your people here. Just do business with her or with him. Father, to connect yourself and all your greatness and your goodness and your mercy and your justice and your righteousness and your sovereignty. Father, to the happenings of his or her life. So I encourage each one of you, just be before your God. Make the connection. Father, help us when we leave this place not to forget. Not to be like the one who saw it in a mirror and then walked away and forgot. But Father, from who we are, what our life is about, Father, to the present circumstances, to, Father, all that the future holds and will bring, Father, all of it, that we would walk in your light, by your Spirit. Father, we would have you be our God. We would be the sheep in your hand. Through Christ, in whose name we pray.